Okay, praise the Lord. We're talking about who receives the gifts. Who receives the gifts? The first point was members in the body of Christ. The second point was those who earnestly desire and believe. The third point was Spirit-filled saints. That's who receives the gifts, the Spirit-filled. And I mentioned to you that there are non-Spirit-filled that have experienced the gifts of the Spirit. But as far as in a moving ministry and body ministry, it's exceeding rare. And God can do anything He wants. He can give a gift to a donkey. He can do anything He wants. And so it's not like God can't give a gift to the non-Spirit-filled, because He does. He gives gifts to the non-Spirit-filled. He gives gifts to those that believe Him and love Him. He anoints those who love Him and believe Him. Those that have faith, He'll move through and power through their lives. God hears the cry of the person's heart, and they believe God's word, and they don't know about being Spirit-filled. They believe about healing. They say, "Lord, I believe You. He's going to heal." And He may use them to heal. And there have been some pretty notable, exceptions. Exceptions, that's the word I'm looking for. All right. And so we have, but the Spirit-filled, they tend to have abiding gifts. Gifts that are resident. And gifts that will manifest in a body ministry. And having yielded to that gift and operating that gift, they'll tend to move in that. And it'll abide in them. And there will be a ministry of that gift. We call it a resident gift. And you know as well as I do that the New Testament is written to Spirit-filled saints. It is clearly written to Spirit-filled saints. Those to whom Jesus came to fill the Holy Ghost. And you can see mentions of tongues several places. And it's just given as a matter of fact. For the Holy Spirit helps us with our infirmities. I mean, He's assuming everybody's filled with the Holy Spirit that He's writing to. And you see that in Ephesians, praying always in the Holy Ghost. You see it in the letter of Jude. You see it to the Romans. You see it to the Corinthians. I mean, whenever you see it, it's just assumed that all of them are. All of them are Spirit-filled. When Paul came to some believers, some disciples, you know what he asked them? He said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" I mean, that was his heart. That was the heart of Paul. And so all of the believers in the early church were Spirit-filled. That's where the promises are aimed. And so the gifts are for the Spirit-filled. Now, even those that are Spirit-filled, once you have operated a gift, does not mean it becomes resident. And but to the Spirit-filled, often we find that they do. And once a person has used a certain gift, they have operated a certain gift, they tend to be open now for the operation of that gift again and again and again. And as they yield to that gift and as they operate that gift, it becomes resident. It's not so much that God comes around and says, "Well, let's see," and He takes a gift and He says, "Well, let's see, I'll write non-resident on this one." So He stamps this one non-resident and then plops it on you, so you operate it and now it's all done. Then another one He takes, "Well, I'll put resident on this one." So He stamps this in resident and gives that one to you. And boom, now here you go, and it just stays there all the time. It's not like that. It's as you yield and as you believe and you receive gifts, and as you continue to yield, you will operate that gift. Because and that's why we earnestly seek the gifts. And He gives. And He wants to move through you continually. But there may be a change in your ministry where you don't need that gift as much. And so you're not using it as much, although you could use it later. And so this is how God moves. We'll see that there's really somewhat of a misnomer, although we really need to abide by it, when it says, which gift do you have? Or do you have the gift of healing? We're going to see that those are misnomers, the way we use it. I think I'll explain it later when we get into it. In fact, it'll be just here real shortly. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12:11. And it says here, "But all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will." Now the word "severally" is a word that points out how gifts become resident. That is, they reside in an individual. They remain in an individual. The word for "severally" in Webster's means individually, or peculiarly, or singly. Rotherham translates it peculiarly, distributing unto each one peculiarly. Peculiarly means belonging to an individual. It's translated several different ways. Weiss translates it, dividing to each one separately. Darby translates it, dividing to each one in particular. Berkeley translates it, distributing to each one individually. RSV translates it, apportions to each one individually. Kingdom Interlinear translates it, making a distribution to each one respectively. Now, the Greek word translated severally is idia, I-D-I-A. And the word idia comes from the noun idias, idias, meaning, and it's spelled I-D-I-O-S, meaning one's own or personal or of a private ownership. And therefore, idia means here, he divides to each one for himself according to God's will. In other words, for that person, self, for that person. Dividing to each one what is privately owned as he wills. And so we see here that there is a gift given for each one's personal ownership. And that tends to lean towards the idea of resident gifts. He divides to each one for his own ownership, his person, his own possession, individually, belonging to that person. He divides to each one for that person according to his will. And so we see, therefore, that there are specific gifts, especially for specific persons. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, it says, therefore, desire earnestly the best gifts, covet earnestly. There are gifts that are best for you, and it doesn't tell you which ones either. It doesn't say, desire earnestly prophecy. It doesn't say that. Or desire earnestly this or that. It doesn't say that. The reason why is because what is best for you may not be best for somebody else. What is best for you may not be best for somebody else. They are idia, you see. That is, they are for private ownership. That's why when God gives gifts there, he gives you a great responsibility in the operation of that gift. There's a great personal responsibility. And it also brings a great liberty. As you are obedient to God, there is a great liberty and a great responsibility. We see that gifts of healing operate this way. We're going to find later that gifts of healings is really the gift. And what they are is they are many gifts for many different kinds of sicknesses. And you'll find that God will give power over cancer. God will give power over respiratory problems. God will give power over certain knee problems or back problems, like Pastor Don. God will give power over pain. God will give power over, you know, different things like this. And throughout the ages, this is what we have seen. That in men that have ministered, like during the Latter Rain Revival, Branham, Roberts, Jack Coe, and later David Nunn, and some of these other men of God, and earlier Price and Lake and different ones, in their ministries, there were certain sicknesses and things that they especially had success with. If you could put it this way, they were especially gifted in certain areas. And because there are gifts of healings, that is, there are many gifts of healings. Because there are many sicknesses, therefore there are many healings, and many gifts, therefore for these healings. That's why it's best if we have many people that minister in healing. And that's why it's all also best that you, if you've got a problem and you get prayed for, you get prayed for several. You know, as you're asking God, and if it's not immediately gone, you know, so you don't need prayer anymore, be praying, get prayed for by several, believing the whole time, you know, but get prayed for by several, because God will use different ones in different areas, more so than in others. And because they're peculiar, and they become that person's possession, and throughout his ministry, he'll find that he has more success in these certain areas. William Branham had more success with certain things. And when he and Brother Roberts ministered together, which they did a few times, they tended to, you know, some people would go to Branham, and he'd say, no, go to Brother Roberts. And some would come to Brother Roberts, and he'd say, no, go to Brother Branham. Because they would have more success in those areas, see? And so they would tend to choose like this because of the how God had gifted them, if you want to put it that way. And these things will tend to remain with that person through life. Now, he can get more gifts, and it could expand, and he could have more successes. That's true. And, of course, there's always your personal faith connected with their personal faith anyway. And even if you have no gifts of healing, if you pray in faith and they're praying in faith, brother, they're going to get healed. You're going to get healed. But there are gifts that regardless of what's going on, they'll get healed. Those are gifts. Unless, of course, they just absolutely don't believe. Just don't believe at all, then they don't get healed. But those gifts override unbelief sometimes. You know, the lack of faith. You know, those gifts, God just healed anyway out of his mercy because he gave a gift. Because it's a gift. Just gave it out of mercy. And that's how those gifts operate. But we could all have faith. And that's why it's good for many who have many gifts of healings in a large group to be praying together and standing against sicknesses together, because you get much more success because there are many gifts of healings in a larger group, see. And of course we all should be praying for that. There are some that they'll yield to a certain gift, and you'll find that they'll continue to yield to that throughout their life. They'll experience a gift of interpretation of tongues or prophecy, and they'll continue throughout their life. Oftentimes when a person receives a gift, they'll continue to operate it. A person may step into an area of deliverance, and they're crying out to God, and God will give them a gift of discerning of spirits. And they'll find that as they have yielded to that, now it's much easier to yield to that gift, and they'll yield to that gift throughout their life. They'll yield to that gift, and it becomes, quote, resident, because they're yielding and they're surrendering. There may be times, though, where you receive a gift and you never operate it again. That has happened, and it can happen. It doesn't have to happen. That's why we continually need to seek. See, this is the point. You need to understand this. It's not just, oh, God, he's going to do what he's going to do. Well, yeah, but he's going to do what he's going to do depending on what you do and how you respond to him, and if you believe, and if you seek, and if you obey the word. And the word says to seek after the gifts. God wants them to be resident in your life. He wants them to continue to flow and to manifest through your life. That's what God wants. Otherwise, Paul would never have written and would have said, ye that operate in the gifts, seek to excel for the edifying of the body. If you just forget your gift, well, I operated once, I guess that's the end of that. How can you seek to excel? Do you know how you seek to excel? By continuing to perfect the use of that gift in your life. You yield to it again and again, and you get more sharp and more yielded and more dependent upon God and more discerning and greater words of knowledge and so forth. And just like prophecy is according to the proportion of faith, you'll find that all the gifts are. It's according to the proportion of faith, and you need to step into it by your own faith. And you'll find that God will just increase that gift, and there'll be greater excellence in the use of that gift as you yield yourself to God. And that's the truth. That is the truth. That's what the Scripture says. We also see about resident gifts that in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28, that God has set in the church, set some in the church, apostles, prophets, teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. He sets. And often you find that just like he sets an apostle, so he sets people that operate in certain gifts, although it's much more fluid there because many different people can have gifts, and there can be many having the same gift. And, you know, it's a much broader variety. There's apostles that are set in the church, but you can see the gifts can kind of be fluid. Some can operate them one week, another's another week, you know, and it can move, and new people can operate this week, and see, as people are opening and yielding unto God. Whereas apostles, I mean, he's an apostle, and you don't just have somebody decide to be an apostle that week. I mean, that's a much more, an office is something that is grown into in a much more calculated building way, obviously, than receiving a gift. God can just give a gift in an instant of time, but he doesn't make you an apostle in an instant of time. Being made into an apostle, brother, takes years. It takes development. It takes growth. It takes breaking by the Holy Ghost. It takes moving in the spirit, realms of the spirit. You'll move up through the ranks. You'll go through positions of leadership, ministerial positions and whatnot. He just doesn't take you off and just make you an apostle. He doesn't do that. It's what we see in the scripture also. We see that they grew up through the ranks. And Paul was among the prophets and the teachers before he was made an apostle. So he'd come up through the ranks. He'd been in a position of body of Christ as just another saint. And he grew up. God grew him up and he developed. And he was in the desert of Arabia for a while. And he came in among the saints and he began to reach out to souls. And God began to develop him. And pretty soon God began to give him gifts. God began to use him. Pretty soon he began to teach. Then God began to give him prophecy and began to move him into the heart for the church. And then God moved him out into the apostolic ministry. It would be so interesting for a lot of people if they could read how Paul grew over the years. I'm sure some people would be just shocked. You know, because you think of Apostle Paul, yeah, he got saved on the road to Damascus and boom, Apostle Paul. No, he was Brother Paul. And he grew up through the ranks and he had to develop and he had hard knocks and he had difficulties and he grew and he made good choices and he was sold out and God grew him up fast, but he had to stay in submission. He had to remain in submission, keep his heart right, keep his right heart pure. Then God picked him and said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have prepared for them. Then the day came. That's exactly what we see happening in our own assembly. God's bringing men up through the ranks and building them, preparing them for ministry and whatever ministry they end up in. Maybe some that enter right into support ministry, eldership ministry, and they stay there for the rest of their life. And if that's where God wants them, and that's what God's chosen to, and that's where their heart is satisfied, and they feel called to that, that is absolutely heaven. I mean, that's wonderful. That's glory. That's marvelous. You are working for God. And there are some that will never be in full-time ministry. But they are hopefully going to be working for God all their lives, and that's the way it ought to be. Every one of you, no matter what. No matter what you feel upon your life, it should always be, I am going to work for God for the rest of my life, regardless. Regardless. We see that Paul talked to Timothy about the gifts that he received. They were resident. The gift that you received through the laying on of my hands, stir it up. Fan it to a flame. Get it boiling in you. Neglect not the gift that is within thee, Paul said to Timothy. So there was a gift. It was resident. He had it. He should be operating it. He should be using it. He should be using it to the betterment of that assembly. We see that it's easy, since we're living through the five senses, you know what I mean, all too much, it's easy to step out of the supernatural and just kind of, you know, let everything become humdrum. I know what's going to happen. Everybody knows what's going to happen. Everybody knows the next step. But do you see the gifts take you into the realm of the supernatural? You don't know. You don't know. And so you have to move by faith. And yet you have to believe that God wants to do these things, and God wants to say, God wants to speak, God wants to help his people, God wants to reveal things. You have to move in that realm so that you can operate in that realm. And so that's why Paul had to stir up Timothy. Now, stir up that gift. It's so easy to kind of, you know, get back into this realm. Stir it up, brother. Get up there in this realm of the supernatural and live in that realm. Expect the supernatural. Know that God will move through you, see. Stir it up. Don't neglect it. It's easy to neglect it. You have to keep it stirred up. And we need to be yielded to vessels. Let me give you those scriptures in Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:14 and 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. And so we see that normally gifts that are given become resident. In the building of the tabernacle, God gave gifts to different ones. Gifts to enable them to build the tabernacle, and that's a type. And you'll find that those people that kept those gifts kept them throughout the building of the tabernacle. Bezaleel, Aholiel, and others. Exodus chapter 35, verses 32 through 35. And also Exodus chapter 36, verses 2 through 5. We see they received gifts for the building of the tabernacle. And that's what the gifts of the Spirit are for. It's for the building up of the church. And those that receive them, keep them. They tend to keep them, to continue to operate them in the body of Christ. God does not jerk away gifts with every mistake you make. He doesn't do that. That's not the way God is. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 29, it says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Now, this word repentance is probably better translated regret, without regret. The gifts of God are without regret. He doesn't regret giving them. You can misuse them. You can use them for your own ends. You can heal the sick so that you get more money. You can heal the sick so that you get a name for yourself. You can take advantage of the gifts of God. That's the truth. You can take advantage of the gifts of God because God gives them without regret. He gives things. He does not keep you on a string. God does not keep us on a string. We need to understand that. I mentioned that yesterday. I mentioned it again. You're not on a string. But God gives you responsibility to live out your life and to carry out your life. Now, that doesn't mean He leaves you by yourself either. He expects you to be trusting and relying on Him all the time. He gives them without regret, and you have a responsibility. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, it says, according to the grace of Christ, as He has given gifts unto every man, as prophecy, prophesy according to the proportion of faith. He that leads, let him wait on his leading. He that ministers, let him wait on his ministry, and so forth. And what do we see? We see God gives gifts, and you have a responsibility with that gift. You don't just say, well, God gives it, it's all up to Him. God gives it, and now you respond to the Holy Ghost. You build up that gift. You respond to God. But again, understand that it's according to your faith and your submission to the Lord. You can only do what you can do. And God is the one who has to supply the grace. You speak according to the oracles of God. You speak as the oracles of God. And it's according as He gives to you that you are able to give out to others. So really, it all does come from God. But the point is that when He gives gifts, now He expects you to rely upon Him, to wait upon Him, for Him to continue to pour it into you. And so there's a responsibility. All right. God can, though, take away gifts. And there is a point when a person has gone too far, and they can be revoked. And they'll be taken place by other demonic things. But I'm telling you, you can go pretty far before God will do that. Just like losing your salvation. God is so merciful, He's married to the backslider. We'll write some of them off, you know, but I tell you, God is still with some. God is still with some of them. They're out there crying out to God, wondering what in the world are they doing. That's right. And Balaam, Numbers chapter 23 through 25. Lived in the land of Palestine. And when Moses was heading around Kadesh Barnea and coming on up through the Ammonites and the Moabites, Balak was what? He was a Moabite, right? King Balak, was he a Moabite? Yes, he was a Moabite. And he fetched for Balaam because he knew Balaam had power with God. And Balaam was a prophet of the Almighty God, Yahweh. And when Balaam came down and prophesied, he says, I cannot give you but what God gives me. And you know that when Balaam prophesied, it was right on. But after he got done prophesying, you know what he did? He said, see, I told you I can't curse these people for you, King Balak, because King Balak was scared of the Israelites, and he said, curse them, you got the power of God. If you curse them, I know they're cursed. So come and curse them. And he says, I can only do what God gives me to do. And he shouldn't have come anyway. God told him not to, but he connived and he got his way around it. And he wished he could have cursed them. But God wouldn't let him curse them. And so he talks to Balak on the side, and this is what you find out from all the parallel passages. He says, Balak, tell you what, I can't curse them because God won't let me curse them. When I prophesy, I got to give what God gives me to give. And I gave it. And he blessed them. Something fantastic. And so you're really in trouble now. But I'll tell you what, you got one chance. And I like that money you're flashing at me there. And I'll tell you what your one chance is if you give me that money. And what it is if you can get God mad at them by making them sin against God. I'll tell you how you do it. He told him. And he did it. 59,000 Israelites were killed by the judgment of God because they sinned at Baal Peor. And it's because of what Balaam did, rotten guy. And yet he prophesied the word of the Lord. He went a long ways, but he still had the gift of God. He was still prophesying from God. He'd gone a long ways. He wanted that money so bad, he cursed the people of God. You know, there's a lot of people, I'm afraid, that have fallen to the same ditch. They like the money. They still preach the gospel. God still moves. They pray for the sick. They're healed. But they like the money. And because they like the money, when they're in the sidelines and when they're off to the side, they fleece the people of God. They do things that are without proper motive. They do things out of a wrong heart. They are making merchandise of people through feigned words, as the scripture says. And it's a sad, sad thing. It's a sad thing. And it shocks some people that God's gifts are still upon them even while they're being a rat. And there was one brother that evidently he was alcoholic. And he would be drunk, and it was time to minister. He would step out onto the stage, and he would minister under the power of the Holy Ghost. And God would heal, and God would deliver. He'd operate the gifts of healings, the word of knowledge, call people out, deliverances, expose sin in people's lives, bring them to repentance. People would get saved. He'd step off of the podium and be drunk again. And as far as I know, that's the way it is with that particular individual. And I know the man was used mightily of God, mightily of God. Fantastic miracles to this brother. There have been many, though, that have found this out, and we'll talk about some later in the semester. So, but there comes a time like with Jimmy Jones. You've gone too far. And anything that you had of God is now replaced with something the devil gives you. And pretty soon you're not able to do the same. You've gone so far. You're now rejecting Jesus Christ himself, and you're doing everything in hypocrisy, and the devil has taken up residence in you, and things have changed. Still looks kind of the same on the outside, but pretty soon it's all over for you. You lose your soul. You lose your soul. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12:31, this phrase, covet earnestly the best gifts. Oh, before I mention that, remember I said how it's somewhat an impropriety to say, do you have the gift of healing? And that's because there's many gifts of healings. And it doesn't just mean that you can go up and just heal anybody you want to at any time either. I mean, it's just like you can't go up to and prophesy to anybody any old time. Well, you got the gift of prophesy? Prophecy. Prophesy. You got the gift of prophecy? Prophesy anytime you want to. See, that's not necessarily true, although there's a tremendous amount of choice that God does give us. And we can choose to prophesy or we can choose not to prophesy. And we do have that right. I mean, we do have that responsibility. We can do that. But it's not a matter of like, well, you got the gift of healing, now you can heal anybody, anytime, any place. It's not like that. Or do you have the gift? Doesn't mean that you can turn it on and off like a faucet. You know what I mean? There has to be a yieldiness, but it'll happen like this. If you are yielded to God, and there is a real need, and if you will step into the anointing, you find that God will be there. If God has used you in the gifts, and there is a need, and if you step into the anointing, you will find that God will be there. And so there is a tremendous amount of authority that Jesus gives us when he gives us gifts. Tremendous amount of authority that we have in exercising them. We'll see this more clearly as we go through the class. The best gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:31. What are the best gifts? Covet earnestly the best gifts. The Greek for best is meizona, meidzona. Meizona. It means the great gifts. Great. It's a term that's used just about every conceivable way you can. It's greatness in reference to mass, weight, space, stature, age, quantity, quality, intensity, rank, persons, things. It's a measure. It's a measure. It's a measure of comparison. Now, in the Greek, they have the superlative and the comparative like we do. Like, we would say good, great, and greatest. You know what I mean? And great here is the comparative, not the superlative. But in the Greek, the comparative is also used as the superlative. Like many times they'll use a comparative even though it's comparing one thing to many other things. And they'll say great instead of greatest. There's only one place that the word mezzona is in the superlative in the New Testament. Only one place. And that's in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. And there it's in reference to the Word of God. The great promises. The great and precious promises. And by these you might become partakers of the divine nature. And so it's through these greatest and most precious promises that we become partakers of the divine nature. So there the Word of God is described by the superlative. Now, Paul is not saying that there's one gift above all the others, but he's saying that that when you seek after the gifts, there should be a certain few gifts in your mind above the rest that you're seeking after. The best gifts. There should be a certain few. It's not singular. The best. It's plural. There should be a certain few best gifts, that is, great gifts, in your mind when you are seeking after the gifts. Now, I know that there cannot be one gift above all other gifts. I know that. For several reasons. First of all, if there would have been, he probably would have used the word in the superlative, the greatest gift. But he didn't. Secondly, if this was the case, the body of Christ would be 10 arms and no legs. You know what I mean? The body of Christ would be a whole row of mouths and no hands and legs. We'd be in real trouble. Plus, if there's one that's greatest above all the rest of them, why would God have to choose according to his will? He's already expressed his will. I've got one gift, get it. But that's not it. They are given according to his will. And if his will was already, I got one gift above all the rest, get that one, there wouldn't be any reason for him to impart according to his will. Plus, the listing of the gifts never even hints at one gift being above the rest. It doesn't. You say, what about prophecy? Well, we'll touch on that later. Holy Spirit 1 touched upon that, why prophecy is singled out in comparison to tongues, because it's the antithesis to it. It's public ministry in a verbal sense that gives the greatest edification at one time. That's why. So what is the best gifts? What's the greater gifts? What are the greater gifts? They are this. They are the gifts for that person. That is the best gifts for that person and who he is in that situation and time of history with the needs then present. These best gifts are the best gifts for that person considering who he is, that situation, that time of history, and the needs then present. They're the best gifts for that person considering who he is and that situation and time of history with the needs then present. So in other words, the best gifts are the ones that fit us best. They're the most effective gifts for us. They're the most needed gifts for us in our situation. God knows who we are. God knows our ministries. God knows what we have need of. And what we have need of are the best gifts. Whatever they would be. If you're in a counseling ministry, best gifts you'd want to seek after are discerning of spirits, the word of knowledge, faith, the gift of faith, particularly. If you're in the healing ministry, the gifts of miracles, the gifts of healings, the working of miracles, the gift of faith, the word of knowledge. If you're in a pastoral ministry, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, gifts of healings. Take them all, working in miracles, prophecy in a pastoral ministry. You see what I mean? If you're a prophet, prophecy, and so forth. And in the body of Christ, those that are not in a particular position, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, discerning of spirits, possibly. See, depends on your situation, who you are, the needs that are facing you at that point. Those that will determine and help you move into the gifts that are best for you. You'll find that God will work in your life, and you'll feel drawings certain ways. Those are the things to pray about. Be praying about it. Go ahead and take it as well. It's not going to hurt me. Like some have come to me and say, well, you know, I have a burden for the sick. I say, praise the Lord. You know, and they say, well, you know, but I just have a burden. I don't want to be too presumptuous or anything. And I say, brother, get all the power of God you can. Pray for gifts of healings. Pray for working of miracles. Press in. And then get into the program, because you can get involved and start ministering with other ministers of healing after certain requirements are satisfied and so forth, and move right in. All the gifts are equally important. They're all manifestations of God. They are. They're all equally important. Some aren't less important than others. It depends on the situation. You know, it's not like the saw is more important than the hammer. Depends on the situation. If you're driving a nail, brother, you don't want a saw. If you're cutting a board, a hammer's not going to do you a lot of good. You see, it depends on the situation. And so you have one for each thing. See, they're like tools. And so if you're there needing to discern a spirit, you don't need the gifts of healings right then. You don't need tongues right then. But you need discerning of spirits. And so it depends on the situation you're in. Now, when we are seeking gifts, we should be seeking God, therefore, primarily. God should be sought primarily. Why? Because He gives according to His will. And as you're seeking God, you enter into His will. And you become familiar with His heart. And you'll have greater faith as you are asking for the gifts. And remember, it's Him that you want to please. And so in your seeking of the gifts, be seeking God. Now Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart." And then it says, "And I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now when it says there, His yoke is easy, that word easy means agreeable, or it fits. It adapts to you. And whenever you have a yoke, you have to tailor fit it to the animal. And many times when you get another animal, you have to either throw away that yoke or get another yoke, and get another one, or you have to cut around it and you have to shape it to fit the back of that animal. And made out of wood, see, then it'd be no problem. And unless they're the padded ones or whatever, but you know, you get one that adapts to that animal, because if it's cut to the last animal, then this one has a different shape in the shoulder area. That's really going to cut in. It's really going to hurt him. And so you adapt it. And Jesus says, therefore, my yoke is adapted to you. I adapt it to you. I shave around it so that it fits. So that it's easy. My yoke is easy. And my burden is light. It's not a heavy burden. You do have to work. You do have to wear the yoke. You do have to learn of Jesus. But it fits. It's agreeable. You can really work hard when it's not hurting you. You know what I mean? I oftentimes equate this with shoulder pads in football. You wear shoulder pads, and if they're too tight around the neck, or if they're a little bit misplaced on the shoulder, you hit some guy and you just think that the guy stabbed you, you know? Whereas if you get it so they fit, you can hit a brick wall and it doesn't feel that bad. You know what I mean? You can really hit something hard, you know? And it doesn't feel that bad because you really pad it. It's just like if you really pad your hand or something, you have to grab something, you know, that's hot, you can grab it no problem. See? Because you're all protected, everything is just fine, you know? Or if there's something real sharp that you have to pick up, if you're well padded, you can pick it up, see? But if you're not, boy, you're in real trouble. And so God, you know, and He won't ask you to pick that sharp object up without having something to pad your hand with. And so this is what He's saying. That's the way the gifts are. They fit. And so that's why you need to be seeking the Lord and get into the yoke with Jesus Christ and let Him teach you and take you through the training process and show you, and He'll give you a heart. He'll goad you certain ways. He'll begin to lead you certain ways. And as you're moved and as you're led, that's what you pray about. And you start praying for those gifts, those things that are in front of you at that time. Notice the same word, best, is also found in chapter 14 and verse 5. "I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesies." This word greater is the same Greek word, mazona. He's greater. Why? The verse tells you. He's greater than he that speaks with tongues, unless he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. He's greater because he gives greater edification. Unless, of course, it's interpreted, and then they're both the same. But he's greater because of the edification factor. And so when you're seeking the greater gifts, seek the gifts that will give the best edification, the greatest edification in your life. Whatever ministry you're involved in, whatever you're doing, seek after the gifts. Provide the greatest edification. Now, tongues and interpretation and prophecy should be sought after quite regularly. And he asks in 1 Corinthians 14 that we seek after prophecy because prophecy has such an immediate edification factor, a broad edification factor. Everybody's edified at the same time. And it meets the needs of everybody there. You know, I mean, it ministers in some way to everybody all at once. Normally, the other gifts are more tailored, you know, to a specific situation. And that's why prophecy is often a broader gift and should be sought after quite regularly in the body of Christ. Now, how many gifts are there? Well, there are the nine that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10. We listed those already in the three categories of three gifts each. And these are the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, and so forth. But there are more of the gifts than that. And some of them are listed in 1 Corinthians 12. In verse 28, we see two more gifts listed. God hath set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles. Then he lists off a bunch of gifts. Gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Those are gifts. And the two that are new there are helps and governments. Now, why aren't they listed in the nine? The reason why is because those nine gifts are supernatural manifestations, regardless of who the individual is. And they belong in a class all their own. These other two, helps and governments, they more tie in with your position and with your office in the church. Helps and governments are many times restricted to those in positions of authority. We'll see later that the gift of helps is often to those that are deacons. The gift of governments, we'll find, is often to those that are elders, almost exclusively, because who else is going to be governing or steering the ship than those that are elders? Those that are in the position of authority. Well, see, those are also gifts that God gives. But there are more gifts than that. Look at Romans 12. Here's another listing of the gifts. Verses 6 through 8. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us. So they're called gifts. Whether prophecy. Now, it's talking about the same gift that's listed in 1 Corinthians 12. So we know we're talking about spiritual gifts. But then look at the other ones it mentions. Prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. For ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Now, there's a gift of ministry. Or serving, a gift of serving. Or he that teaches on teaching, there's a gift of teaching. Or he that exhorts on exhortation, there's a gift of exhortation. Or he that gives, let him do it with simplicity. There's a gift of giving. He that rules with diligence, there's a gift of ruling. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness, there's a gift of showing mercy. Well, how do you like that? Those gifts, you'll find, are more directed towards a person's ability. Now, prophecies mentioned there, I think, personally, because Paul is showing that these other gifts are also gifts of God, just like prophecy is. There's no question that it's a gift of God. But these others are included because they are also gifts of God and not to be in any way belittled. A lot of people look at prophecy. You know, it's kind of public. Everybody sees. Everybody knows. But how about the gift of showing mercy? That's a gift. There's a gift of the Spirit. Pray about those gifts. Exhortation. Giving. Leading. There's some that just because you have a job and give some money to the Lord, that doesn't mean you got the gift of giving. But brother, if you find a goading in that area, then let God do it. Let God open up doors, and it'll be a gift. It'll be a gift. There are some that they don't really want to go in the ministry. That's too scary. So they decide that they'll work on a job. And, you know, they'll give money to the Lord and they'll support the work of God, you know. They probably haven't been given a gift. Well, I'll just support it, you know. Well, there's a lot of people that support it. But there's very few that have a heart like you for souls and that have an ability like you and have the training like you. Brother, we need you somewhere else. But there are those that are just, you know, because of their old life or whatever, they're just in a situation, and then God will just dump right on their heart, in their laps, and they'll give 80% of their earnings to the Lord. You know, they'll give 70% of what they earn. They'll give 60%, and they're earning lots of money. They're earning 200,000 a year, and they're just giving 50, you know, 60, 70%. And that's a gift of giving. I think personally, if it's a gift, you're not going to give just 2% more than the guy next to you. I think you're going to be pouring it in. See, if it's a true gift of God. So we see that there are other gifts listed. And there are other gifts, I'm sure, that are not listed. He didn't. Those are not total listings. It's not like that's God's hands are tied and he can't give any other gifts. It's ridiculous. He gives all kinds of gifts. There's a gift of intercessory prayer. I'm convinced of that. There's a gift. All of us are to intercede in prayer. But there is, I'm sure, a gift. Where there are some that are goaded, and they have a gift, and they operate in that way, and it's above and beyond what others do. That's right. I'm sure of that. And they're able to do what others couldn't do. And you'll often find that a gift is seen because of it becomes a ministry of compulsion. A ministry of compulsion. Just like that one that wanted to pray for the sick. It becomes a ministry of compulsion. You'll find that that's where the gifts often come. And so also one is an intercessory prayer like that, and it's a ministry of compulsion. You'll find possibly they have the gift of intercessory prayer. There are many other operations in the body of Christ where people receive gifts and where they receive abilities that go beyond themselves. And there's undoubtedly many gifts that God gives people when they deal with young people. There are certain ones that God gives them that heart, and he supplies it with them, and they have, I don't know what gift you'd call it, but they are able to, what do you call it?
Patience.
What is it?
Patience.
The gift of patience. And they are able to discern and deal with men's souls, children's souls, and wisdom, and I'm not sure what all. You know, I think maybe a combination of everything, you know, and maybe it's the gift of being an adult or something, who knows what it is, but, you know, to just deal right down in there, I tell you, it's just marvelous. I've seen God gift Brother Jerry Slominski. I've seen a gift operating in that brother's life. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't know what gift you call it. But it's all of a sudden he was here and then he was there. That's just the way it was. And it was a gift. And it is a gift. And he operates that gift. And wisdom and understanding and discernment. And who knows how it all fits in. But I know he's got that. And others have stepped into situations or been in circumstances. And so what I'm saying is, don't limit God. If there's a need, God's got something to meet it with. If there's a need, God's got something to meet it with. And don't get overly concerned. Now, was that the gift or wasn't it the gift? Forget it, brother. Just meet the need. Just meet the need. You know, there are people that are doing apostolic ministry and they don't even have a button that says, I'm an apostle. In fact, they may not even consider themselves an apostle. And yet there they are operating in apostolic ministry. You know, what makes you an apostle? Well, it's my five-cornered star that says I'm an apostle. What do you mean? My badge. Here, you am an apostle here, and we put this badge on you, and now you is one. See, that doesn't make you an apostle, it doesn't make you a prophet, it doesn't make you anything. There are people that operate in those positions, and they don't even consider themselves that. There are people that have operated gifts and never knew they operated a gift after they operated it. They operated a gift. Nobody put a name on it, nobody put a number on it. Nobody cataloged it away, they didn't even know they operated it. They operated a gift. God isn't concerned with all of that protocol. He could care less. He just wants the need to get met. Just like Jesus Christ. Well, what gift did he operate there? You know. And as we go through it, we'll notice that in the life of Christ, we see, if you can say it this way, all the gifts are in operation. But see, he didn't have gifts of the Spirit. He was the Spirit. But as a man, God was flowing through him in all these different manners, see. And we'll see these things in operation. So we find that no one listing of the gifts is complete. And the gifts are never in the same order. And as you see them in different places, they're in different orders. And that's why you can't say tongues is the least of the gifts because it's listed last. That's so ridiculous. Normally they get that in 1 Corinthians 12:28. But in 1 Corinthians 12:28, it omits a majority of the gifts. It omits a majority of the gifts. And also in 1 Corinthians 12:28, it omits evangelists and pastors, the offices. And when tongues are mentioned elsewhere, for instance, in verse 10 of chapter 12, They're next to the last. And neither list is complete. And then we have in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, it says, now we have faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is, of course, the first one. Brother, don't you understand? I listed them, and the last one's always last. The first one's... No. Faith, hope, and love. And the last one was first. The greatest of these is the last one. And so maybe that's what he did before. You know? Of course, he's not even putting them in an order. So, besides that, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, when it mentions the gifts, it says, then... And then it lumps all the gifts together. And he doesn't mention all of the gifts, because he doesn't need to mention all of the gifts. Kind of like, you know, when Paul goes through a list of things, he'll say, if he has to, instead of repeating the thing 40 times, he'll say it the first couple of times, and then he'll allow, and then he just lets you realize that it's implied. Like we see in 1 Corinthians 12, look at this. He talks about the gifts in verses 8 and 9. In verse 8, every time a gift is mentioned, it's by the Spirit. To another, it's by the Spirit. By the same Spirit. Verse 9, by the same Spirit. By the same Spirit. Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. And then it doesn't say by the same Spirit. Does that mean we are to conclude that only those first verses, 8 and 9, are gifts that are given by the Spirit, but in verse 10, they're not given by the Spirit? Is that what we're to conclude? See, of course not. It's implied. He just got tired of saying it every time. And so in verse 10, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one in the self-same Spirit. See? And so it doesn't mean the others are left out. The Spirit didn't give those. Well, it's the same way back in 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Why go through all the listing of all the gifts? He doesn't need to. He's just letting you know, then gifts. So healings and all the other gifts, and I'll mention a few. See? That's all he's doing. No one list is complete, nor are they in order. And the offices are in order in verse 28, and then it mentions that. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. And then, thirdly, teachers. That's the offices. And then after that, miracles. And then, gifts. And then lumps them all together. So we can see he's not listing them. All right, let's start and go through the nine gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. Let's go through the nine gifts of the Spirit, discussing them in class. The first one... Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. Let me give you a definition. The word of wisdom is a flash revelation giving the needed solution for any problem. A flash revelation giving the needed solution for any problem. Now, these gifts are given by God directly. That's why it's a flash revelation. And they're given when God chooses. But it's through man, and so our will is involved. So when God chooses, but it's through man. Now notice it's called the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. This flash revelation that you received of wisdom does not become the word of wisdom until you speak it out. Some might have a problem and say, well, was it a gift then when I got it? You know? Oh, you're just playing games. Why did God give it? He gave it for you to give out. That's the word of wisdom. And when we're viewing a gift, what are we viewing? We're viewing its effect upon the congregation, aren't we? And so obviously it's a word of wisdom because it's spoken out to the church. It's a word of wisdom. Well, what if I don't speak it? Did I have the gift then? Oh, you're just playing games with God. God gives you something, you better speak it. God gave you a gift. And it was a gift when he gave you the wisdom, when he gave that flash revelation, when he gave that solution. Now give it out. It's your responsibility. Yes, God gave you something. Now give it out. You know. And it's a word of wisdom, though. It becomes a word of wisdom when we speak it out, and that's that gift, the word of wisdom. The word here for word is logos, L-O-G-O-S. And it's a thought, and it's also an expression of a thought. So it's a thought expressed. And all the wisdom in the world, if you don't say a word, doesn't help anybody. Wisdom is to find solutions. Solutions to problems. And that's why it's the word of wisdom, so that it can help others. But and then one more point before I let you go, and that is, it does not have the definite article. It's not the word of wisdom, because it's not all of God's wisdom. it's a word of wisdom, or it's a word of wisdom. That is, it's a part of God's storehouse of wisdom for that particular situation. So it's not everything. Okay, let you go. God bless you, dearly beloved.